At the time of this recording, it's July 3rd, 2022, and I've just celebrated 5 years officially in business. Every year on my business anniversary, I sit down with my journal, usually with a dessert or a glass of wine, sometimes both, and I'll write down the highlights of the past year, my favorite sessions, favorite weddings, goals that I achieved, things I learned over the past year, hopes I have for the coming year. So naturally, I've been in a reflective state of mind lately. I've been thinking about my journey as a photographer and as a business owner, and I realized a couple of things. One, I've never actually shared my business journey publicly. That's not because I'm being secretive or I don't want to share it. It's just that I've chosen to focus on sharing the stories and images of my clients rather than my own. And two, I think there's tremendous value in sharing it. Maybe our stories are similar. Maybe you've had a dream and you don't know how to take action on it, or you're working towards a goal and it's not playing out the way that you'd hoped. Maybe you have more than one career aspiration and you don't know which one to pick. Maybe you're just completely frustrated with your current season of life. All of those things are in my story, so I hope that by listening to it, you'll feel encouraged and less alone in what you're going through. 10 to 15 years ago, when being a wedding photographer was simply an idea that I had, the culture of small business owners was not what it is today. Photographers weren't super generous with their knowledge or with their stories. There wasn't a spirit of community like there is today. I didn't have many resources, and I was quite honestly scared to ask. The wedding world felt like an exclusive club that I wasn't a part of. And because of those early experiences, I've always felt a desire to be an encouraging person for new business owners. I'm often asked questions like, how long have you been shooting weddings? Or how long have you been full-time? How long have you been a photographer? And I have my short answers that I'll give in the moment, but they don't truly sum up the whole of my experience. So I'm about to share the full story. I know that people listening to this most likely have different spiritual and faith backgrounds, and those backgrounds shape the way that we view the world and our own life experiences. I'm a Christian, and one of the things that Christians believe about God is that He loves us so deeply and knows us so intimately that He knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly when we need it. When I look back on this photography journey, it seems so imperfect. It has moved at a snail's pace. I stood in my way for a long time. I spent several years pursuing another career while I was growing my business. But while I had so many moments of frustration and impatience, looking back, I clearly see the ways that God provided exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it. And it's been a journey filled with opportunities to grow as a person, to build confidence, develop skills that I need along the way. When I look at the big picture, everything was in the timing that I needed it. So let's start at the beginning, where my love of photography started. It started as a kid. My dad has pursued photography as a hobby since he was in college. So growing up, we always had cameras around the house. The life of our family was extremely well documented through photos and videos. I remember being on family vacations and just begging to use my dad's camera to take photos because I was obsessed with the idea that through photographs, I could always have access to all of the beautiful things that I was seeing and experiencing. I could take a little piece of that place or experience home with me to remember forever. My first venture into photography was with disposable cameras. So as a kid, I would take them to camp, on church trips, on family vacations. And through the years, my dad noticed my interest in photography and helped me cultivate it as much as he could. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I got my first real camera. This was before smartphones were a thing, so everyone had flip phones. Most of them had cameras on them, but the quality was not great. So if you wanted a good camera, you had to get something separate from your phone. So the camera that I got was a point-and-shoot digital camera. My parents got it for me for Christmas. The brand was HP. Yes, like the printers. I don't think they make cameras anymore, but they did back in high school. So I used that camera to take photos of friends just hanging out. Nothing super creative. Just groups of people sitting on a couch, or if a friend was doing something really funny, I'd take a photo. And then I'd post them online to Facebook albums. Within that first year of owning that camera, I took it on a trip. and it was damaged in my luggage, so I went without one for several months. But I saved up my money to replace it, and my junior year of high school, I bought a Canon PowerShot, and I used it for the same things. My senior year of high school, I took a digital photography class at school as one of my electives. And in that class, we mostly learned how to use Photoshop, how to edit photos, but I also learned the basics of how to work a camera and what different settings on my camera meant. I learned a little bit about exposure, things like shutter speed, aperture, ISO, and to this day, that class is my only formal photography training that I've ever received. I was definitely not the best in my class, but it was the first time that I started to really stretch my creative muscles as a photographer and photograph things other than just casual shots of my friends. So I photographed things like architecture, nature, a few portraits of other students in my class. At this time, wedding photography was nowhere on my radar, let alone photography as a career. I really only thought of it as a hobby and as something fun that I could do for the rest of my life, but doing it as a job was not something I can remember thinking of a single time. That same year I took my digital photography class, I was also taking a psychology class as a separate elective. And through that class, I developed a really big interest in human behavior. I was fascinated by why people make the choices they make, what makes people different from each other, personality types, psychological disorders, the whole nine yards. So throughout that year and throughout taking that psych class, I developed a career goal of becoming a psychologist or a counselor of some sort. I graduated from high school. I was accepted to Auburn University, so I moved there for school and declared my major to be psychology. And in college, I loved my psych classes so much. I actually never changed my major, which I know is so rare for college students, but I really dove headfirst into the psychology world as a college student. At the same time, photography was still an interest of mine. I kept taking photos for fun. Again, nothing creative. My camera would just come along with me to football games and parties and hanging out with friends. But during this time, I believe my freshman year of college, was when wedding photography came onto my radar for the very first time. There was a Birmingham-based wedding photographer. His name is Brian Johnson. His business name is A. Brian Photo, if you want to look him up. I think these days he's doing a lot more commercial work than wedding photography, but back in the day, he was really big in the wedding photography world, and he photographed the weddings of a couple of sisters that I had grown up with at church. And they were the first wedding photos that I'd seen that resonated with me on an emotional level. I would look at them and feel just this deep emotional response to them. At this point, the only wedding photos I'd been exposed to were my parents from the 80s. They were very staged, formal, everyone standing in a row and smiling. Most of them were photos with flash. But these newer photos that I was seeing were so different. They were candid. There was nothing stiff or posed about them. You could see people's natural beauty and joy and happiness coming through the images. They were shot on film, so a lot of them had this really gorgeous grain to them. You could see the motion in them with blur. I was just absolutely obsessed. I would constantly refresh this photographer's blog and wait for him to post new weddings. So this was around 2008, 2009, before Instagram. And the only way to keep up with a photographer's work was to read their blog, look through their website. So I was constantly refreshing, looking for new wedding photos. I had a close friend in college at this time. Her name's Constance. She knew of my wedding photography obsession, and she knew that I had an interest in photography and was kind of the default photographer of our friend group. I was always the one who had the camera and could take photos of things. And she would always kind of jokingly tell me, you're going to shoot my wedding one day. You're going to be my wedding photographer one day. And I'd always laugh it off as a joke, like, oh, that would be fun. But I wasn't putting the pieces together of this being something that I could actually pursue. And so I would take that comment and just, I don't know, just move on and not seriously think about it. More time went by, and then my sophomore year is when things finally started to click. I was still spending so much time scouring wedding photography blogs, finding film wedding photographers who I admired. Constance was still telling me that I could do this one day or that I was going to do this one day, And finally, I realized that this was something I could do. And I even remember the exact moment. I was in my college apartment. I was laying on top of my bed. I think I had been looking at film cameras online, and I had the realization, oh my goodness, I could do this. I think I'm going to do this. And I was so excited by that thought. I wanted to do and pursue film photography specifically, and I was so determined at that point. So I expressed my interest in film photography to my dad, and the summer after my sophomore year, he loaned me one of his film cameras. It was an Olympus OM2. I shot my first roll of film on that camera that summer, and the film that I used is, they don't make it anymore. It was Kodak Portra 160 NC. I remember the NC stood for natural color. I shot that roll of film. I got it developed at a little camera store in Auburn called Camera Graphics. And I just remember being so just creatively fulfilled when I got those photos back and looked through them, just like heart eyes all over those photos. It was something that I was still just so excited about and excited to get more into. Now, this is actually where I started to stall out a little. I kept exploring film photography. I kept finding wedding photographers whose work I admired, people like Jose Villa, Tech Pataja, but I had no clue where to start with actually becoming a wedding photographer. The concept of starting and running a business was completely foreign to me. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I was kind of just sitting back and hoping that someone would come along and give me my big break. My entire friend group knew that I wanted to do this, so I did a lot of waiting around and hoping that someone would eventually hire me to take their engagement photos or their wedding photos. The concept of marketing was completely foreign to me, so I just waited. I didn't really take action because I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. I kept photographing things for fun on film and digitally. I started a blog that was the home for any kind of creative endeavor that I pursued. I'd take photos of things that I cooked and shared the recipe, or I'd create playlists and share them and share songs I was enjoying at the time, or I'd write about something fun or funny that had happened with my friends. This was before Pinterest, Instagram, any of those things. It was my first online space where I would share creative things. And then spring of my junior year, it finally happened. I finally got my first photography job. It was an engagement session for my friend Constance, the friend who had always said that I would shoot her wedding one day. Now, I was nowhere near being able to shoot a wedding at this point, so we agreed that an engagement session would be what I would give to her. And we got together, me and Constance and her fiance, Andrew. We did their engagement photos on Auburn's campus. We hung out around Cater Hall and Sanford Lawn. And I just remember having such a good time just walking around the place where they met and reminiscing, but also just being really excited about their upcoming wedding and taking photos of them together. I shot that session 100% on film, which now looking back is just such a bold move to do that. Film can be a little bit tricky, and you don't have any do-overs, and you don't have the luxury of looking at the back of your camera at the image to make sure that your settings are right. You have to be very certain with it and be sure that you are doing things the right way, because you're not going to see those photos until several days later. But I shot it 100% on film, and it went well. I also booked my second photography job that same semester. It was a bridal session for a friend who was getting married. With her, we went to the Arboretum on Auburn's campus. I actually created a bouquet for her for the session. So I went to the grocery store about an hour before we got together. I bought a bunch of flowers that I thought would look good together. I cut them, wrapped them in ribbon, made a bouquet for her. We went to the Arboretum. I shot that session 100% on film again. And I was so, so proud of myself for those two sessions. I remember getting the film back and thinking, oh, I'm doing it. I'm a photographer. I was just so creatively excited at that time. But after those two sessions, photography kind of fizzled out again. I had posted the photos on my blog. I posted them to a Facebook album. But since I wasn't giving any concentrated effort towards marketing, I wasn't booking anything else. I moved into my senior year of college. That was kind of a blur. I was still focused on psychology. I spent a lot of time making plans for life after college. Photography as a dream job took a backseat for a while. So I graduated from Auburn in the spring of 2012 with my psychology degree. And as a graduation present, my parents gave me my first DSLR camera. So I kind of graduated from the point and shoot to a more serious camera. It was a Canon 7D. It had the kit lens. It was some sort of zoom lens. I don't remember which one specifically, but it was enough to get me started. After graduating that summer, I had been offered a job working for a camp ministry seasonally for that summer. So I spent this summer on the road for about 12 weeks with this camp ministry, putting on camps all over the country. I learned a lot of things through that experience, things like the value of a strong work ethic, how to do things with excellence, how to serve people well, all things that are values that I still operate my business from today. So I'm still so grateful for that camp experience because it taught me so much. That summer, I got Instagram for the first time and got to post fun, creative photos from traveling with camp. I think if you scroll all the way back to the very beginning of my business Instagram account, you can still see a lot of those camp photos. I met a lot of great friends working through camp. I had a friend who was on my team that summer named Catherine. She was another photographer, and we really bonded over wedding photography. She was the first friend I'd ever made who also had an interest in it and also wanted to do it. She was the first person I could have great conversations about it with. She was really my first photographer friend, and the friendship that I would make with her would turn out to be significant a few years later. So keep Catherine, my first photographer friend, in mind. After that summer of working for camp, I moved to Colorado Springs for a leadership development program for a nonprofit organization. Now, at this point, I was still considering counseling as a career, but I was also considering other things. I was considering full-time ministry. I was considering just finding any kind of job that sounded good or sounded like a fun place to work. I wasn't seeing any traction in photography, so I wasn't thinking of it as a career path at this time. But God really used my time in Colorado to confirm that my next steps were to pursue a career as a counselor. So I was full steam ahead with counseling. Photography stayed in the backseat for a little while longer. After Colorado, I moved back to Birmingham. I applied to a counseling master's program in Denver. I was accepted, and I was making plans to move back to Colorado later that year. In the meantime, I had a nannying job in Birmingham. I worked another summer of camp. And then things took a bit of a turn. I was not feeling at peace about moving back to Colorado. So through a lot of prayer and a lot of conversations with different people I trust, I decided to pull my enrollment from that school and stay in Birmingham. And y'all, I did not have a clue what my next steps were. It was a really difficult year. My plans had crumbled in my hands, and I entered into a season of depression. If you've ever been depressed, you know it feels impossible to make any kind of decision, let alone big life and career decisions, so I didn't. I was still nannying just a few hours a week, and that was it. I wasn't doing much during that season of my life. And eventually, some people who love me very much gave me some tough love that I needed. I decided to apply to counseling master's programs closer to home. I applied and interviewed at a school about 45 minutes south of Birmingham called the University of Montevallo and was accepted. I eventually moved out of my nannying job and got a full-time job working in the home office of the camp ministry that I'd been working for. They were based in Birmingham at the time. And my life was kind of starting to take shape again after several months of aimlessness, for lack of a better term. So I was getting started with that master's program. It was going to take me 3 years. I started in January of 2014. I was working full-time during the day for that camp ministry. I was driving down to Montevallo for classes at night. I was living with my parents at the time so that I could afford to pay for grad school out of pocket and not take out any student loans, which is something that I am so grateful for now. And that first semester of grad school, I was really starting to feel like myself again. I was feeling creatively inspired, so I decided it would be a good time to pick up photography again. I created a post for my Instagram account announcing that I was booking sessions, and it was just crickets, no response. I think one girl at work told me that she had seen it and she was excited for me, and that's it. Again, I did not know what I was doing. I did not know how to market myself or how to start a business. I was throwing spaghetti at the wall in hopes that something would stick, and nothing was sticking. Towards the end of this first year of grad school, however, I got a phone call from my college friend Constance, and her younger sister Courtney had just gotten engaged. She had set a wedding date for a little over a year later, and they wanted me to be her wedding photographer. I remember on that phone call, Constance said, "I don't give us an answer now. Like, I don't want you to say yes or no out of impulse. I know that this would be your first one, so really think through it and decide if it's something you want to do, and then let us know, but no pressure." And I was terrified. I thought about it, stewed over it for probably about a month. I had some conversations with friends about it, just talking about how I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it or not. And I remember a conversation with a friend. She really encouraged me to go for it. And she said, "Jana, you have been a bridesmaid in weddings, so you've seen behind the scenes of weddings. You know how the flow of the day works. You're a good photographer. You can take good photos at weddings. You are equipped to do this. You can do it." And so after that conversation, I called Constance back and told her, "Yes, I will photograph your sister's wedding. Let's set up a phone call with her." So once I decided that I was going to do it, it lit a bit of a fire under me. I knew that I had about a year to learn what I needed to learn to be in a place where I felt confident enough to shoot a wedding, which is plenty of time. And all this time, I had still been maintaining a friendship with my camp friend, Catherine, the one who was also into wedding photography. She'd been doing a lot to grow her photography business, and she had booked her first weddings for the coming year. And she asked me to second shoot for her for some of those weddings. If you're not familiar with what a second shooter is, it is a second photographer who accompanies the lead photographer at a wedding. So second shooters are there to assist. They are there to take additional photos from different perspectives so that if anything were to happen to the lead shooter's photos, they would have the second shooter's photos to fall back on. So it was a great opportunity to really step in and see what a wedding from the side of a photographer looked like. We shot our first wedding together in May of 2015. And I went into that day thinking, I am either going to fall in love with this and it'll be everything I hoped it would be, or I'm going to be extremely disappointed in this experience and rethink everything. So we got through the day, we got to the reception. That night at the reception, I was on a break. I was sitting at a table. I was eating a piece of strawberry cake, kind of propping my feet up for a couple of minutes before going back on the dance floor. And I remember thinking, yeah, this is as wonderful as I hoped it would be, and I want to keep doing it. Was it exhausting? Absolutely. That wedding day was really difficult, but I fell in love with it. And I second shot 5 more weddings for Catherine in 2015. And those experiences prepped me to shoot Courtney's wedding in December of that year. So shooting for Catherine helped me build my portfolio. It gave me the experience that I needed to be able to confidently shoot a wedding day on my own. Every time I'd second shoot a wedding, I'd get back home, I'd upload the photos, look through them, and feel so much joy and immense creative fulfillment over what I'd done. And I'd look through the photos and think, I'm actually doing it. That thing that I dreamed about in college, it's actually happening. And I still feel that way today whenever I look through photos after a wedding. The feeling never gets old. I was growing my collection of equipment through this time. I was still shooting on that 70 that I got for college graduation, but I bought a 50 millimeter 1.8 lens, which if you are a newer photographer and you need a good first lens, that is a great lens. So the 50 millimeter 1.8, I bought a flash, I bought backup batteries, extra memory cards. I booked my first ever family session that year for a couple in my community group who just had a baby. I was just doing a lot of things to grow and become established, basically, as a photographer. I was operating in cash at that time, so I knew that best practices were to keep any kind of business earnings separate from your personal finances. So I had an envelope of cash. I just laugh about it when I think about it now. I had an envelope of cash that I kept in my bedroom of all of my photography earnings from second shooting. I started a website where I was posting my work and building my portfolio. And y'all, my website, it was a Tumblr page, if y'all remember Tumblr. So not professional at all, but it was a free, simple way to post work online as my portfolio. I was saving up to buy an actual website. I bought a gallery subscription. So as a photographer, whenever you deliver finished photos to a client, you deliver them in an online gallery. So that's a subscription that I had to purchase. I got a Creative Cloud subscription, which is the software that you need for photo editing. I was really, at this time, taking stock of the essential things that I needed to be a wedding photographer and putting the money that I earned from second shooting jobs into getting these things. So I may have only had one wedding on the books, but I knew that I wanted to provide an excellent experience for that couple and serve them really well. So I was doing everything I could in that year leading up to it to make sure that that could happen. Finally, in December of 2015, I shot that first wedding for Courtney and Brandon. It was in a little town in North Alabama at the church that they grew up in, and it was so much fun. My dear friend Leslie McClanahan was my second shooter that day. She is a very talented newborn and family photographer, if you want to look her up. But that day I found so much joy in getting to serve Courtney and Brandon and their families and document that day for them. I still remember the look on Brandon's face when Courtney walked down the aisle at the ceremony. They'd chosen not to do a first look, and the look on Brandon's face was priceless. I will never forget it. It was all in all the sweetest day, and I'm still so grateful for Courtney and her family for inviting me to be a part of it. The next year, I booked two more weddings, one for friends of friends and one for a friend and her fiance who were getting married in Austin, Texas. So I got to fly out to Austin to shoot that wedding, and y'all, I felt like such a pro getting on an airplane to go shoot a wedding. I felt like I had made it big time so early in my career. So that was a highlight of that year. 2016 was also the year that I hosted my first fall mini sessions. My brother got engaged that year, so I did his engagement photos. My friend Leslie got engaged. I shot her proposal. We did her bridal portraits up at Cheaha State Park on an overlook on top of a mountain there. So I was doing a lot of shoots that were, one, for friends, two, creatively inspiring to me. A lot of people in my life were booking me for sessions, which I am still so grateful for. Side note, if you have a friend in your life who is starting something new creatively or business-wise, do what you can to support them because it will mean so much to them. I launched my first website that year that was not a Tumblr account. It was a Squarespace website. I put a lot of time into it and was very proud of it. At this point, I still hadn't had any formal training in photography other than that class that I took in high school. So I did a lot of self-critique. I would look at photos I'd take after shoots. I would think through how I could have done them better or how I could have done them differently. I'd take notes, and then I would go out and try new things or approach something differently at the next shoot. And that's still a lot of how I work today. I would have conversations with Catherine about our work and things we were trying and things we were noticing technically about photography and our cameras and things that were and weren't working. So it was a lot of self-evaluation and just looking at how I could be improving just one step at a time. This was also my final year of grad school. So I graduated in December of 2016 with my master's in clinical mental health counseling. And I was offered a position as a career counselor in the same office that I had been interning. It was the Career Development Center on my university's campus. Now, when I went to school for counseling, this is not what I expected I would end up doing. I'd envisioned myself working as a mental health counselor for a counseling practice or a group of counselors, but I actually, in reality, ended up specializing in career counseling, and it ended up being a really good fit. Through my job, I got to work with college students and help them figure out what they wanted to major in, what career they wanted to pursue. I got to help them discover their strengths and what they have to offer the world and help them connect those things to career options. So it was an extremely rewarding job, and it helped me develop a lot of professional skills. I did so much public speaking in this job, which is funny to me because all through high school and college, public speaking was my biggest fear. And I got really good at it in my years as a career counselor. I got comfortable with it. I grew more confident in it. I was doing it once a week, if not more. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to get out of my comfort zone. That job offered me plenty of opportunities to do that. My time as a counselor in general also uniquely equipped me to be a better photographer. Counseling school made me a trained listener, so I'm good at knowing how and when to respond to things that clients are telling me. I know how to read a room, which is extremely helpful on wedding days. I can easily pick up on tension. I'm not fazed one bit by family dynamics or drama on a wedding day. Counseling really fine-tuned my intuition, and it strengthened my emotional intelligence and my empathy, and I think that I'm ultimately a better photographer because of it, so I'm grateful for it. It's just my whole experience as a counselor is something that I still see as God providing exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it. So as I was stepping into this new job, I decided that I wanted to keep photography a part of my life. My job was really unique in that it was a 10-month position, so I only worked 10 months out of the year. I was given a set of what were called non-contract days, which were days off that I could use in slow seasons at work, which was mostly in the summer. So I got around 40 of those days a year, and I decided I was going to use them on photography. That first summer of days off, I used as my test run to see if I actually enjoyed spending full days working on photography, and quite honestly, to see if I had the discipline to work for myself from home. So that summer, I decided that yes, I do like doing this, and I'm going to keep doing it for the long haul. So I decided to officially file for my LLC and to make my business legally legitimate. So fun fact that I have never shared with anyone, I actually made a mistake on my LLC paperwork and had to resubmit it. The office that handles those papers sent my paperwork back to me, like mailed it back to me with a note about what I had done wrong. I don't even remember what it was, and I had to fill everything out again and resubmit it. So if you ever feel like you don't know what you're doing when it comes to legalizing a business, don't worry, I did not either. I finally got it squared away. I applied for an EIN, which is a tax ID number for businesses. I opened a business bank account and deposited that envelope of cash. And because this is the year that I made my business legally official, it's the date that I use to mark my business anniversaries. So this June, I celebrated 5 years. So that's 5 years as an official business, even though I've been shooting a little bit longer than 5 years. I kept booking family sessions. I believe I had one wedding that year. I was second shooting for other local photographers who I'd reached out to. I kept upgrading my camera equipment. I was doing all the things that I needed to do to build a business. The next year, 2018, I had 3 weddings booked. I kept growing the family photography side of my business. I booked a couple of second shooting jobs. And this was the year that the reality of how I was spending my time was starting to sink in. It was actually the beginning of a really hard couple of years. So in my counseling career, I was working towards getting licensed as an LPC, that's a licensed professional counselor, within the state of Alabama, and it was moving so slowly. So in order to get this license, you have to acquire a few thousand hours of counseling experience. You have to go to weekly supervision meetings with a licensed counselor, and it takes most counselors 2 to 3 years to complete the process. But because I was working on a college campus and I only had high seasons of work about 8 months out of the year, it was going to take me closer to 5 to 6 years to complete this process. It was also a pretty expensive thing to pursue. I was spending a few thousand dollars a year in supervision and licensure costs. So it was a big deal. It was something I was spending a lot of time and money on. At the same time, I felt like I was coming to a point in my photography business where I couldn't grow any further because I was only booking as much work as I could keep up with a full-time job. I felt like I was plateauing in all areas of my life. I didn't see a way to grow my business without sacrificing my time and my boundaries, and I was working towards a counseling license without seeing very little progress. It was something that was very, very far in the future. At this time in my personal life, I was experiencing a season of anxiety over a couple of issues, and it was starting to trickle into my photography work. I would get extremely anxious right before shoots, sometimes even to the point of feeling physically sick. And I was doubting if I could handle the pressure of running my own business and being 100% responsible for supporting myself financially. So I had a big fear of failing at business during this time. But I also knew that I was coming to the point where I had to choose one over the other. I couldn't keep doing both for much longer because it was taking a lot out of me. I was actively, constantly circling through that decision in my head. Most often, I would consider what it would look like to quit counseling to pursue photography because photography was my true joy. When I was at my day job, I'd wish that I was at home editing photos. My work as a counselor was fulfilling, but I felt so much more joy from the creative fulfillment that photography was offering me. But I also felt out of a place of guilt that I needed to stick with counseling, at least until I got licensed, because at this point, I'd spent years of my life and thousands of dollars in tuition and licensure fees, and quitting felt like a big waste to me. I had also felt like God had clearly led me into counseling, so I was having a hard time giving myself permission to step away, so I kept doing both. I was still counseling college students and making career decisions while I was battling career decisions of my own, and yes, I see the irony in that. There were some hard days of helping students process those things when I felt like I couldn't even process them for myself. I don't think that I have ever felt a season of discontentment like I did in those couple of years. So bless my friends because they probably got sick and tired of hearing me talk about it and wrestle with it, but they were so good to me and so patient with me, more patient than I was with myself. So amidst these years and wrestling with the decision, there were still so many good things. I had a long commute. My drive to work every morning and afternoon was about 35 to 40 minutes. So I filled that time with business and photography podcasts. So I learned a lot through those years through podcasts. With my non-contract days, I had time to build really strong foundations for my business, which I think made the eventual transition to full-time pretty seamless. I spent years building systems and processes that were ready to go when it was time to truly rely on them. And again, I see this as God knowing exactly what I needed, when and how I needed it. The family photography side of my business was thriving. I stayed busy with family shoots all year long. I had taken a bit of a break from film photography, but I started incorporating it back into my workflow those years. I, during this time, signed up for a course called the Blueprint Model. It is a business finance course that's designed specifically for creative entrepreneurs. It is taught by my dear friend, Shanna Skidmore, and it taught me how to financially run my business. And it helped me with things like solidifying my pricing, creating an annual financial plan. It helped me feel so much more confident in financially running a business. So at this point, we are in February of 2020. And at this time, I felt like my career counseling job was coming to an end. Like my time at my career counseling job was coming to an end. I didn't know if my next steps were another counseling job. So I considered moving into a different area of counseling just to finish out my license more quickly. I didn't know if maybe this was the time to move into full-time photography, but I was also open to something completely different if there was something else on the horizon for me. So I entered into a season of prayer and considering what the next steps were. And of course, we know what happened a month later. COVID reached the U.S. Everything shut down. I was sent home and I still had a job, but I was doing everything from home. I was counseling students over Zoom calls. But I also had a lot more free time than I had ever had before. So I decided it was a good time to really lean into photography. I did not have the pressure of having to rely on my business financially through COVID. I had a couple of weddings booked for that spring and summer, so I focused 100% on serving those couples through that time. And all along, I was still praying, journaling, having conversations with people about my next career steps. And everything was pointing to going full-time with my business. And that season, I heard someone say on a podcast that if you're going to climb a ladder, make sure that you like the building that it's leaning up against. And I think that was the idea that helped me realize I wanted to be in the photography building. I did not want to be in the counseling building. So after 5 years of doing photography part-time and 3 years as a counselor, I finally made the decision that I was going to work towards pursuing my business full-time. That 2020 quarantine was the biggest gift of time for me. I got to give time to things that would really move the needle forward in my business. I spent a lot more time on marketing. I spent time fine-tuning the processes of how I book couples and how I deliver my services. I joined Engaged Wedding Library as a vendor, which they are a group of wedding vendors in Birmingham who connect couples who are planning weddings to trusted wedding vendors. So I joined them as a member. I really hit the Instagram marketing hard. And by the beginning of 2021, I had 8 weddings booked for the coming year. I was working on a brand design project. I was working on a website relaunch. So doing a lot of things to really get my business to where I wanted it to be. And through all of this, I realized that all along, I knew what I needed to do to grow my business to the point of full time. I just wasn't doing those things because I wasn't sure until this point if the timing was right or if it was the right move. But once I decided, things started happening very quickly. I had been planning financially for the transition using the resources from the blueprint model, and I knew that in order to leave, I needed a little extra income to supplement what I'd be making from weddings. So in January of 2021, I learned of a part-time virtual assistant opportunity working for my friend Shanna Skidmore, the woman who created the blueprint model, the woman who taught me what I needed to know to make it full-time in business. And learning of that opportunity felt like the most gentle and unmistakable nudge from the Lord. Like, okay, here's the opportunity. It's time for you to go for it. So I sent Shanna my resume. Less than a month later, I had made it through the interview process and received a job offer. So in April of 2021, I turned in my 30-day notice at my counseling job, and I made the really big step of deactivating my counseling license with the state board. And I can't think of a time in my life where I have been more full of joy than I was those couple of months. I know ugly crying is a thing, but have y'all ever happy sobbed? Like, you were happy crying with such intensity that you just couldn't help yourself? I did not know that that was possible, but it is because I did it a couple of times that final month of my counseling job. I was just so unbelievably grateful for the opportunity and grateful that it was actually happening. My last day of work as a counselor was May 7th, 2021. It was 6 years to the month of the first wedding that I ever photographed, and I've been working full-time ever since. So that's the story up until this point. It is still in progress. I'm still learning new things. I'm still growing and improving as a photographer and always will be. I don't know what the future holds, but if I've learned anything through this journey, it's that God is giving me exactly what I need, exactly when I need it. So in closing, I'll give you a short prayer that a good friend of mine shared with me a couple of years ago, and I come back to it whenever I'm feeling anxious about the future or anxious about my work or business, and it's this: God, you know exactly what I need. You know what my business needs. You know what my work needs. And I know that you're capable of providing it. So please provide it. That's all. Thank you for listening.